You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
How you doing? Yeah, pretty much. I'm Charlie O'Connor, the PHL White Flyers. I'm going to be your host tonight because Bill Matz is having a much better night than pretty much all of us who had to watch that hockey game. He's at WrestleMania, but myself, JP Zapata, and Broad Street Hockey's Kelly Hinkle are here to break down what was undoubtedly the worst game of the Flyers season. Not particularly close, right? Like, that was the worst. That was the low point.
I think it's recency bias, Charlie. I think that was the worst.
San Jose definitely sucked, but when you consider the fact that we're pushing for playoffs, this is one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League. Yeah, this one really sucked, guys.
Didn't like it.
They now have lost 7 straight games. Yep. The losing streak is 7. I know on NBC Sports Philadelphia, they are required to say that it is a winless streak because 2 of those games were lost in overtime. No, it's
those
a losing
losses.
Streak. If you lose a game, it's
that's
a losing
a
streak. The NHL will not yell at us like they'll yell at NBC Sports Philly. So we're calling
come
it a losing
at me,
streak.
Gary.
7-game losing streak. Columbus, the 4th worst team in the NHL by record. And Columbus had 10 regular starters out with injury. Some guy named Jet Greaves.
Jet is his first name?
Was the starting goalie.
Oh, boy.
For the Columbus
it's
Blue Jackets.
Worse, fam.
And it's not just that the Flyers lost, it's how they lost. They at 5-on-5 in the first period, they lost the shot attempts battle 30-10.
Oh my god.
They lost the scoring chance battle 14-2 per natural stat trick. This was not a oh, they got goalie. This was not a oh, they just had bad puck luck.
Nope.
This was a they did not show up to play against one of the worst teams in hockey. So I'm just gonna cut right to the chase. They're dead, right? Like, there's 4 games left in the schedule. They still, when we wake up in the morning, when we look at the playoff odds, those models will still have the Flyers probably with a double digit percentage chance of making the playoffs. But can anyone here imagine that they can turn this around, win 3 out of the next 4, win 4 out of the next 4, and really take a run at this thing? Or does it seem like it does to me that this is over?
I said last night that if they didn't win tonight, I was going to be out, and I'm out. And at this point, I don't want them to make the playoffs because they don't deserve to make the playoffs. At this point, I'm rooting for them to lose out. That feels like what they have earned at this point.
To close out the season on an 11-game losing streak.
Let's
not
go
even
11.
10.
No,
not
no,
even
no.
10.
No,
going
no.
With 11.
We're going 11, baby, for the culture.
JP, your thoughts?
We're creeping on that 10, right? We're at 7 right now.
That's right
and
there.
When you're watching this team play, like, yeah, they definitely look dead in the water. Even like you look at a guy like Sam Harrison. We were hoping that after a 3-game rest, going into his back-to-back, maybe that would cure it. I mean, I'm not blaming all those goals here tonight on him, but some of them, it's like, Sam, maybe, you know, where's that glove side,
he did
right?
Not look good.
All 6 goals were scored by defensemen.
That's also something
defensemen
to point out.
Generally shoot from distance.
Yes.
Just given the way they are usually placed in the offensive zone.
And they did that.
I'm not saying that some of those goals weren't, you know, bad looks, whatnot, but when 6 defensemen score on you, that's a lot of shots on the perimeter that can pass you. It does not speak well to Sam Harrison's sharpness, nor does it speak to the hope that we had, as you hinted, that getting 4 days of rest would lead him to be revitalized. He looks like the same cooked Sam Harrison that we saw in the first period of the Islanders game earlier this week.
We almost had a Damon Severson hat trick. Like, that's wild stuff here.
He almost did it.
I was rooting for it.
Well, Zach Werenski had two goals too, so he could have gotten a hat trick.
Oh, at least he's good.
God.
I mean, Severson's
fine.
Severson's fine. He got a big contract last summer.
Well,
maybe it wasn't the smartest contract for them to give out, but he did get that contract. So
now he's scoring goals. Look at him go.
So it sounds like we are all in agreement that this probably was the end of the season.
That's it.
From like functionally the end of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I told you I would love to have seen you in that press conference. I just want to see like Torts is now, because like when you watch a player tonight, like they played the Columbus Blue Jackets, we all know are not good. And Columbus straight up outplayed them. And look, Bush brought up a good point during the broadcast. Like, Columbus literally has nothing to play for. Like, they have nothing to lose. And the Flyers, the way I'm looking at them right now, like, the pressure's on them. You can clearly tell, like, they have, like, a mental burden when I watch them go out there and play. And, yeah, Columbus just caught them snapping a little bit. That's the way I looked at it tonight.
Yeah, maybe. I don't love the explanation of this team is loose because they're not playing for anything. And you know why I don't love it? Because I remember watching the Flyers at the end of the seasons when they were out of it and they weren't playing loose.
No.
They were playing awful.
They just look like shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe some teams, they find something at the end of the year because the pressure's off, whatever. But to me, it's less an explanation. Like, there are sometimes where excuses can be reasons, it's not an excuse, it's a reason, it's an explanation. This is, if you're saying that they're losing because they're playing against loose teams, that's a legitimate excuse.
Yes.
Because there is no excuse for a team like the Flyers that has everything to play for, every motivation. The playoffs are right in front of them still.
Yeah.
Even if in theory, and I don't think this is going to happen, but in theory, if they were to win their next four, they might still make the playoffs. It's still there, but they cannot seem to, they just can't seem to find that extra gear that Tortorella spent all week saying we need to find that level. They can't seem to find it. Now, maybe they can't find it. Maybe they are so exhausted that this is all they have left. I truly don't know. Maybe it's, we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the show about the, what do you blame the most for this collapse? And there are a lot of candidates. So we'll have a nice little debate here. But it just, for whatever reason, it's not that they're playing teams that are loose. It's not that they're playing teams that just have something to prove. No. It's that the Flyers should be playing better, and they're not. And this is on them. And by them, I mean the collective them. I mean the coaches, the players, everybody. Everybody is failing right now.
Yeah, the Flyers are not getting beat in these games. The Flyers are losing these games. There's a difference. And it would be one thing if they were getting beat, but they're not. Like, they're losing these games by playing like absolute shit. Top to bottom.
I just think, I go back to the first goal of this game, the one where Columbus scores, takes the 1-0 lead. That, to me, was emblematic of the fact that this is a team collapse. This is not one guy. This is everybody. So going through, the play starts out, Joel Farabee has the puck. He inexplicably passes it back into his own zone to Adam Ginning, a rookie who's coming back in after being out of the lineup, who has no idea the puck's coming. So he misses it. Puck goes in the corner. Then later on in that shift, Harrison has the chance to catch a shot that's going wide. The guys on the ice are gassed. They haven't done a line change. He has a chance to catch a shot going wide to stop play and get a line change. It bounces out of his glove. Then, a few seconds later, Morgan Frost has the puck along the boards, has the chance to get the puck out of the zone and get it deep enough so they can get a full change. Frost does get the puck out of the zone, but it's a loose little like flip clear out to the middle of the neutral zone. They only get, I think, one or two guys off the ice. Immediately, the Blue Jackets storm back in. And then Ronnie Attard sets a screen for Harrison. 1-0. We're talking like 4 or 5 guys at fault for this goal. It's not, and everybody's going to look at an individual play. Like we saw last game where everybody blamed Mark Stahl because everybody hates Mark Stahl. And I get it. But this is a team-wide collapse. These plays, these goals against, are because 3, 4, 5, sometimes even 6 guys are screwing up.
Yes.
It's everybody. To quote Jason Kelsey, who just may or may not be at WrestleMania right now, it's the whole damn team. It is. It's the whole team.
I won't argue with that, man.
No one should be absolved for this. It's everybody.
Yeah, that's where I was at with it. You know, when everyone's looking at this losing streak, I know I've heard a lot of Torts blame. I've heard a lot of blame on the goalies, but I'm with you, because the reason why they got themselves into a playoff position for most of the season is that they were playing well as a team.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that were working well. I mean, we were talking about the power play kill. Where has that been? Defensively, the structure's been really strong in front of whoever was playing in net. That has collapsed as well. And a lot of that has to do with just being playing well as a team. And I'm just not seeing them playing as a collective unit in these past couple games. You've had some players step up. Like, we've talked about some of the young players have looked solid.
Hilariously, two guys got their first goals tonight.
I know.
They were the only guys who showed up.
What a shame for them, honestly. Like, you can't even be excited.
It's a bummer. Like, this is like the worst possible game.
Inside of their souls, they're being very excited. But like, yeah, you shit the bed all night. But.
Yeah. God, it's just such a bummer. JP, you got our first ad read?
I do. That's really kind of where we're at. But guys, let's take a quick second here to take a deep breath, because obviously we're all going to need that here. But let's talk about our friends over at Trumark Financial Credit Union. Guys, some of our friends here have joined Trumark Financial Credit Union right here in Philadelphia. And it's been an eye-opening experience to see the difference between banking at a bank and becoming a member of a credit union. When you join a credit union like Trumark Financial, you become a part owner, which means profits come back to you instead of going to shareholders. Trumark Financial has better rates, lower fees, a better return on savings, and more flexible options overall. And of course, the same digital tools and technology we all want. But the best part about it is that Trumark Financial is local. They're headquartered right here in Fort Washington, and they have 24 branches across the Philadelphia area, and they are deeply rooted within our community. They serve the community, and so their investments and programs help our people right here at home here in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for here today, ladies and gentlemen? Join the Trumark Financial Credit Union family. Head on over to trumark.com/PHLY to learn more, or to find a branch near you. That's trumark.com/PHLY, federally insured by NCUA. And while we're at it, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you guys, but I got a little hungry. A little losing got me a little hungry. I'm not going to lie to you guys. So let's talk to you guys about Bagels & Co., my favorite here. Bagels & Co. Look at that sandwich right there. I wish I had that right now.
That looks real good.
It does look good. But much better than the Flyers power play. That's for sure. Brooklyn-style bagels here, ladies and gentlemen, but it's made with that Philadelphia love that we love so much. And listen, right now with this inflationary days that we're living in, everything's so expensive, including food. That is why Bagels & Co. hooks us up, because not only are these bagels huge, they are affordable in pricing as well. Not only their bagels, but also their coffee. No more $7 cup of coffee, ladies and gentlemen. $3 cup of Joe for your pleasure every morning. But they have a large variety of bagels to select from daily, 15 to 20 different types. And with so many bagels to choose from, you need a lot of cream cheese schmears to select from. 30 different types here, ladies and gentlemen. So head on over to thebagelsandco.com/store locator to find your local Bagels & Co. here today. Again, that's thebagelsandco.com/store locator. And hopefully your morning tomorrow goes better than the Flyers here this past week. I mean, I should say.
Two weeks. I would say, I mean, it really kicked off with that Montreal game, because I know they lost to Florida and the Rangers at the end of the gauntlet, but they did get a point out of that Rangers game. The Florida game, it was very obviously Felix Sandstrom played like crap.
Yeah.
So those two games, you're like, okay, they outplayed Florida, held them to under 20 shots on goal. They go toe-to-toe with the Rangers, and then you're like, now the schedule opens up. Now they'll be able to just roll off some wins and cruise to a playoff berth. And instead, they just keep on losing.
Charlie, that...
We are now at 7 straight losses. And I believe we have a super chat. Super chat from Corey. Love everything you guys do. Love the Flyers on the West Coast, but you guys make the BS we have to deal with tolerable. Corey, thank you so much. Especially when we have another person in the comment comparing us to the North Korea media. So thank you, Corey, for the love. I do not think that we are a totalitarian media, but someone in there does. So props to you, bud.
We're not even saying nice things about the...
I know, right?
We've not said a single positive thing since we sat down. You gotta love it.
But Corey, thank you for the support. Much appreciated. I want to go back to the game, because we're going to have time to dive into the bigger picture. We absolutely will.
Yeah.
But this game, there's a couple things I still want to talk about. Namely, that there were opportunities for the Flyers to turn this game back in their favor. I'm thinking specifically to when the score was still 1-0. Cam Atkinson gets a breakaway. He's against his old team. It's very clear the Flyers coaching staff thinks that maybe he's got one more big goal in him.
Well,
man, that would have been the time. You're back in Columbus. You basically live there. You love the city. You're in front of your old fans. The score is 1-0. You have a chance to get the dramatic game tying goal that gets the team going. And he doesn't even get a shot off.
Because he's cooked. But he is done.
It's real rough. And I really like Cam Atkinson as a person. I enjoy covering him. He's a good dude. But holy crap. Bye-bye.
Listen, we can't go back to him next year. And like, even, you know, Kelly did bring up a good point when we were watching the game. Like, do you go Garanov or Cam Atkinson in that situation? Like, at this point, I feel like either or can't really hurt because Cam's cooked.
Yeah.
Garanov, we just don't know exactly what you're going to have. A lot of people are hoping that you can get that 2020 Garanov back. But I mean, at this point, maybe too far gone. But I mean, Cam Atkinson, if he scores that goal, this may have been a different game of what we're talking about tonight.
I mean, at this point, you might as well check out Garanov. Like, I don't think he's likely to be part of this. He's not young. And there's a reason why he fell out of favor in multiple organizations. But after seeing that, like, that was as gift wrapped of an opportunity as you're going to get at a key situation. That's what you're hoping to have the crusty old vet in the game for, to make that one last play.
Yes.
And not only does he not score, he doesn't even get a shot off. Then shortly thereafter, the Flyers have a 3-on-1.
Mm.
It's actually set up very nicely.
It looked good going in.
And one Travis Konechny just misses the net.
Sails over the
just
net.
Sails it. And there was your opportunity. Yep. You could have, I don't know. And then I'm not even starting to talk about the fact that they opened this game with a 4-minute power play.
I mean,
I was dreading
to be
that.
Fair, we knew how that was going to go. Like, there was no question what was going to happen on that 4-minute power play.
You were almost thinking, I don't know if anybody else was thinking this, but I almost was thinking this is the worst thing that could have happened.
Yeah.
Because any good feelings they had going into this game are going to be gone after they waste a 4-minute power play, which they did.
I'm more shocked that we got to this point in a playoff position with the power play the way it is. I mean, yeah. The power play has been the one constant throughout the year. It's been bad. And we've tried every different combination. It just doesn't flat out work. And even like on a night like tonight where you have two opportunities, you have the 4-minute power play, and you still couldn't get a goal. We had like five shots in those 4 minutes.
They had shots, but they weren't that good.
No, not at all.
The beginning of the first minute and a half of the power play was shit. Then they started creating some chances, getting some zone time, but it never looks threatening. Like somebody tweeted at me during the game, and it was a fair point watching that power play saying, why don't they just shoot more? And I get that criticism. However, they actually tried that in January. There was a stretch in January where I remember watching it and I remember talking to players. And it was just like, well, we're just shooting because we're figuring like we got to get shots. We got to get pucks on that. And that worked for a little bit. And then it stopped working because you have to eventually create quality scoring chances. You can't just depend on deflections, bounces, and rebounds. So they went back to trying to create quality chances. And now it's dried up again. I don't know. You also have the moment. So Lixell gets the goal to cut to 3-1.
That was nice.
Look, there's still a big hole to dig themselves out of, but there's a chance. We're only around, you know, there's about 35 minutes left in the game. They could, like, Columbus is still a really, really bad team.
Bad team made worse by injuries, and they're playing an AHL goaltender.
It's like 10 starters, right?
Yeah. They everybody's injured. Fantilli's hurt.
Things were
like,
stacked.
You know, Laine's hurt. Everybody's hurt. They still have some guys, like obviously Goudreau is still playing. They still have some quality players, but for the most part, not a good team. And they're already not a good team even when they're healthy.
Right.
So you're thinking, all right, they're down 3-1, but they got time. So what happens? The very next shift, they get destroyed and they give up a goal to make it 4-1.
We were sitting there watching the game like, it's going to happen.
I laughed out loud.
You did. Yeah,
I laughed out loud.
It's going to happen.
What else are you going to do?
And it did.
Because it is darkly funny. And I think my overarching feeling right now is it's just a bummer. Because
it sucks.
Like, I didn't come into the season thinking they were a playoff team. I really had no point truly bought into them as a playoff team. February, I was still saying, I think they're going to miss. Last month, I finally was like, okay, I think they're going to make it, but not because I'm incredibly high on them, but because everyone else sucks just as badly because the Devils and the Penguins seem to be out of it at the time. and everybody they were battling with is also the same kind of mediocre the Flyers are. So I'm not angry. I get why fans are. I'm not. It's just a bummer because there were so many good things about this season.
Yeah.
And now all anyone, rightfully, they made their bed. Like, I'm not absolving them. But all anyone is going to remember about the season is the collapse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Yes. Every bit of goodwill that was built up over the course of this season. And there was quite a lot of it.
Quite a lot of it, actually.
Yeah. The vibes were good there for quite a long time. It is gone.
Yeah.
I sat right in that chair after that Boston win not too long ago, and I told Bill, there's no way we're missing the playoffs. Because after that win, I was so high on them, and that was like a hard-fought win as well. And here we are. Here we are laughing at ourselves over the belief of the team. Now, it truly does suck, and like obviously we're going to talk about who's to blame and whatnot, but to think that we were in a position to make the playoffs this deep, I know a lot of us are mad because we were in the position, but the way I look at it, like I have to look at it with a little bit of optimism. This all has been a plus because I did not think that this Flyers team was going to be in this type of position. So the fact that they've been pushing so to this point, this deep into the season, I have to think like it is a plus, and hopefully they do learn something from this. That's the only thing I can think of, but it's collapse.
Not
really
now,
has sucked.
Yeah, I feel like maybe in like a few weeks.
Yes,
we
too
can,
soon.
We can maybe take a step back and talk about the good things. Right now, I can't speak for the entire fan base. I don't think most of the fans want to look at the good things right now.
No,
to me,
don't.
It's just a bummer that you can't look at the good things anymore.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot.
Stinks.
But right now, it completely feels like this was all just a waste of time and that they just built everyone up just to tear them down in uniquely Flyers fashion, as they are wont to do.
And not only that, it's hard not to think like, well, were all of the things that I thought were good this season, like, were they real or were they just aberrations that will never be repeated? Like, did players actually take steps forward? Were players better than we thought they were going to be? Or was all of this just luck and happenstance? And actually all these guys suck, and what we're looking at now is the real thing, and it's what we're going to be looking at for the next few seasons. Like, I know that's a little bit dramatic, but it is kind of like, well, fuck. Is Travis Konecny as good as I thought he was? I don't know. I was feeling rather convinced, and now I'm not so sure about anything, really.
I think the thing, too, that makes this harder is that it's coming against such shitty opponents. If they would have collapsed and had the 7-game losing streak during the gauntlet, they would have just dropped all 7 games, honestly think that people would have been less pissed off.
Yes,
because
100%.
It would have been like, all right, you know what? Like, this was a fun year.
They tried.
They gave it their best shot, but they're just not as good as these teams. They're just not. But they made it through. Like, they didn't make it through unscathed. They didn't have a great record. But they made it through.
They did good enough.
Still in a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. They won 2 games. They lost 2 more in overtime. They hung in there. And then you were like, okay, the rest of the way is much more manageable. To collapse against these teams.
Yes.
That's what makes it feel like this isn't just, oh, their lack of talent caught up with them. That it's something else.
No, there's something else
here. That it's something else that drove this. Because if it was just them losing to teams that were better than them, they would have lost all 7 games in the gauntlet. Instead, they survived the gauntlet, and then they lose to Montreal, Chicago, Columbus, Buffalo. Like, these are the teams the Flyers should beat.
You're supposed to
unless
beat
the Flyers are just a really bad team that was going through with smoke and mirrors for 75 games. And this is actually their true talent level. I actually don't think that's the case.
It feels like it can't
be. I don't think that's the case. But that's the only explanation aside from something else went wrong. And that's what I want to get into
theories.
This part of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
which is, and this is, in my opinion, it's a pretty interesting debate. Who is the most at fault for this collapse? I have 5 options. My computer is nearing death, so someone else might have to pick this up if my computer dies. But option number 1 out of the 5,
mm-hmm.
the goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some numbers for you. Since February 17th, which really is when I think this thing started to go off the rails.
Yeah.
It was that game against the Maple Leafs. They lose it in overtime. A couple days later, they go to the Stadium Series game. They lose by a lot to the Devils. I don't really think they ever fully regain their footing after that. Doesn't so I'm going like back it. Since February 17th, 85.2 team save percentage. Over the past 2 weeks, so since the seven-game losing streak has started, 79.8.
Yikes.
This last 2 weeks, they've allowed one goal every five shots. Sometimes we do try to make it seem like things are more complicated when analyzing hockey than they actually are, when in reality, it all just kind of boils down to the goalies aren't stopping pucks.
Yes.
Is this the main reason why this is happening? Is it the goalies? Is that the person or people or position that we blame the most for this?
I had a revelation while sitting on the couch, okay, with the office blankie about this, because I think I was just thinking, like, for some reason I was thinking about towards winning the Jack Adams. And then I was thinking about that joke everyone makes about how the Jack Adams is just the best goaltender award, which it often kind of is. And then I was like, well, wait, it's just goalies. Like, that's all it is. Good goalie, good team. Bad goalie, bad team. Like, there's, like, it's
like,
the goalie.
It's like the meme with the spaceman looking at the Earth.
Yes.
And he's just like, wait, it's all just goaltending. Yeah, and then
always
and then Kelly's behind him with a gun. Yeah, always has been.
I was like, fuck, there's nothing you can do. If your goalie is shit, that's it. You're done. There's nothing you can do to dig yourself out of that hole. And if your goalie's really good, like ours were at the start of the season, then your team's good. Yeah, so, all right, thanks for watching. It's goalies.
JP, but there was your thoughts?
There was at one point where we were all high in Arison and thinking, like, potentially this could be our goalie for the future. Like,
I still think he could be.
But
obviously this run has not helped people's confidence in him.
No. I can't write him off because everyone's played bad in this run right now. And so, in general, the goalie position is put in a tough spot, especially ever since the Carter Hart situation. We've had Arison have a boatload of work to do since then. And obviously we put Fedotov in a tough spot too. So it's tough for me to put all the blame on the goalies, but for sure they definitely could have played better. But I don't think it's the main reason why this is.
Okay. So it's not the primary reason.
No.
Here's one thing I will say in defense of the goalies. And I think Sam Arison has been real bad, especially over this past week when he's played. And the week before, I guess, the Chicago game was rough. He's very clearly either gassed or regression is hitting him hard and we're realizing he's not an NHL caliber goalie. I really hope it's the former and not the latter. One way or the other, one of those two things is happening right now. The one thing in defense I will say for the goalies is this. This game was a little bit of an aberration. They gave up a lot of shots. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of these games, the defense is playing a weird sort of way where they're not giving up many shots on goal, but the shots on goal they're giving up are really good.
Mm.
Like, there will be games where they give up 20 shots, but like 8 of them are high danger.
Mm.
And that's not doing the goalies any favors from two points of view.
No.
Number one, it's not doing them any favors for their save percentage because they're not getting a bunch of easy puff shots to pump up their save percentage. But number two, and this is an interesting point that I've heard people like Brian Boucher and Jim Jackson bring up both on and off air, that it's harder for goalies to deal with quality chances when they're not getting a lot of work.
Mm.
And there's an element here where it's like the Flyers will play real good defense or offense that essentially amounts to defense because it's keep away with the puck for like 8 minutes and then give up a super high quality shot.
Mm.
That's tough for goalies.
Kind of happened last night in Buffalo.
So that could be not helping the situation. Something I'll say in defense of the goalies. However, I am probably of the opinion that the goaltending is the biggest reason. Not the only reason.
No.
But if I had to pin it on one thing,
it's
so hard for a team to have confidence when they're terrified that every shot they allow is going to end up in the back of the net. It's so hard.
It feels like an insurmountable hurdle.
Something. Yeah, that works.
It feels like once the goaltending goes as bad as the Flyers' goaltending has gone, it's very hard to dig out of it.
It's very tough because
that said,
it's just so demoralizing.
Yeah. Scoring goals would be nice.
The finishing has been a major problem.
Yeah.
That has not helped by any means. Okay. So that's number one, option one of the what do we blame? Goaltending, it seems like I am more on board with that. JP says no. Kelly, you're like on the fence.
It's definitely a factor.
Option two. John Tortorella.
Mm.
John.
Torts.
Torts. So here is the case for blaming Torts. First thing is, and this is something that obviously a lot of people are going to theorize, did he lose the room after the coot scratch? Right after the coot scratch, he got the boost. The boost happened. For three or four games, they played better. Is it possible that that accelerated his message running short? That is explanation possible one. Explanation number two is one I'm more empathetic towards, is did he run these guys into the ground over the course of the year with his game over game lineup and deployment strategies? You know,
yes.
York and Sanheimer gas. One of the reasons why Couturier's fallen off is because he was used 20 minutes a night in the first half of the year.
11-7 more than he had
11-7 more than he had to. So I think there are two levels you can blame towards. One is if you believe in the theory that he's lost the team, which I don't know. Like, I don't know if he has or he hasn't. I worry that it was a possibility. I'm not saying it has. I'm just saying that, like, you just lost 6-2 to the Columbus Blue Jackets with 10 guys injured. I think it's reasonable to wonder. The other one, which I am more open to at the moment, is that he's run this team into the ground, both in terms of the way he has the team play and his deployment strategies. So that is option number two, John Tortorella. Kelly, thoughts on Torts and his degree of blame for this?
So I think just base level, if you're going to give John Tortorella credit for the team performing well at the start of the season, then you have to at least hang some of this on him, because that's how this works. You don't get all of the praise and none of the jeers.
That's completely fair.
Now, also, we know that John Tortorella loses the room eventually.
Usually takes longer than people give him credit for.
Usually takes longer, but he does lose it. And I do think that it's plausible that not only scratching Couturier, but the way it was handled was probably not very popular among a locker room that, I think you said several times, good friends, good vibes in the locker room.
Good vibes.
Everyone got along.
Good vibes.
Which I know over the last couple of years when things were going very poorly, people were very pissy about the idea that all of these guys liked each other. That was always weird to me. Seems like a good thing for a hockey team to like each other. But I do think that the comments that we heard from Coots about the way things were going behind the scenes, the comments that Tortorella made to the press about Sean Couturier when he was scratched, it was all just so, I think, needlessly nasty that I can very much see this locker room being like, you know what? Fuck this guy. Like, nah, I'm not listening to you anymore. Like, fuck off. And I never really understood the idea, like, a team quitting on a coach never really made a lot of sense to me, because we've talked about this a million times covering this team when they've been bad the entire time. The professional athletes don't stop trying
to
win.
No, they want
to
win.
They don't know how to not win. Like, they're not going out there and throwing games because they're pissed off at John Tortorella.
Of course not. And that's never what I want to say that I think is going on.
No, I don't think you're saying that. But I'm saying that, like, the idea of them quitting on John Tortorella, I think, is more of, like, a subconscious thing.
I think it's more like the idea that maybe they're tuning him out.
Yeah.
Like, this week, John Tortorella went on the full court media blitz.
Yes, he did.
He has, after the Monday game, he calls the team soft. You know, he says they have no balls. He says that there are some guys who, you know, might not be able to deal with these kinds of games. Then 2 days later, he comes up and China does this like 15-minute long mea culpa where he's like, no, actually I'm at fault too. And I'm trying to teach these guys and that kind of thing. But there's an element where you wonder, at what point do the players, rather than be impacted by that and rather than being fired up by that, do they just roll their eyes and just like, here he goes again?
Yeah, right.
And that's when you're wondering, like, okay, has he lost his impact? This will be early. And my
very
biggest
early
argument against the this is all Tortorella's fault thing is that I don't think they are in this spot. I don't think they're in the position to have this collapse if John Tortorella isn't squeezing as much out of them as he did over the
That's
first
fair
part of the year. So it's hard for me to be too tough on him when without him, I think they are probably out of playoff contention by the beginning of February.
But also, though, isn't it his job to know, like, cool, you got them to late March in a playoff spot. Like, that's not the end game, yeah. John. Like, yeah. You have to get them to the playoffs if that's what the goal is. And it seems clear that obviously the front office has told us 1,000 times that the playoffs was not the goal for the front office. But I think it became clear like a third of the way through the season that for the players and for Torts, I'm sure, it got to be like, well, shit, maybe we can. So why don't we do it? And if that becomes the goal, then you have to know how hard you can push them so that they have gas left in the tank yep. in April. And he obviously didn't do that properly if this is them being gassed, which is another thing I don't really buy because, again, they're professional athletes.
All right, JP.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the it's Torts' fault for the collapse theory?
Look, it's hard to gain a locker room and then lose them in the same year. Now, I do yeah. know. Yeah. I do know that.
Are Torts, you sure?
I do know that in the past, Torts has been able to lose a locker after getting a team to, you know, a promised land. But in this type of situation, I think that again, like we talked about before, it's a lot of factors. But I don't think that Torts is the main factor here. I will say that some of the antics, like obviously scratching Coots, calling out the team in the media, we're talking about professional athletes. They are competitors. They may not like some of those things that Torts does with the media. So although I don't think that Torts is is as big of a factor as the goaltender like we talked about, but I do think that some of those antics that happen off the ice may have rubbed some of these players the wrong way, but I still think that there are some other key factors here to this collapse.
Okay, so JP is still waiting.
Yes.
I think it seems like the three of us, out of the three of us, Kelly is the most willing to put blame on Torts.
I just think that the collapse time-wise, and I know that they got that little bump after the scratching, but I do think that the timing of it makes me think that, and you mentioned it when we were watching the game, like it might not have been a big deal like here in sports media, but in Canada, it was like, holy shit.
Oh, it was enormous.
John Tortorella scratched his captain.
Yeah.
Who has never been scratched once in his entire career. Like, it was a big fucking deal.
Yeah, as I've said, the Canadian hockey media treats the captaincy as if it's basically like one step below a god.
Right. And so the players absorb this information. Sean Couturier absorbs this information. There's no way that there wasn't a little bit of resentment, I think, when that happened. And so that makes me think, like, you got to give Torts a little bit of a... He might have earned this one.
All right.
Gary, let's be adding into the super chat.
Yeah, let's check some super chats before we get to option number three. So first super chat, we have Kev A. Is this a ceiling for Farabee? If so, should he be part of the future? I still really like Joel Farabee. However, he has been real bad for like the past month. And he certainly put me in a position where I am more open to the idea of trading him if the right trade comes around. Kelly, you just thought of something. What'd you think of,
so
Kelly?
We talked a lot, and sorry, this is going backwards. We talked a lot during the Hakstol era about how when one or two players start to go bad, you can like start, you know, maybe they're hurt, maybe they're regressing, blah, 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 blah. When the whole team starts to go bad, that's when I think it's like, okay, what is the coach doing wrong here? That's making everyone go to shit.
Yeah, but I guess the reason why I don't fully... I agree with that concept, but I guess where I'm coming from is that I never thought this team was that good.
So, for me,
it's less that, like, this is a good team gone bad, and for me, it's more of, like, this is a mediocre to whatever team that's finally kind of crashing back to where they probably should have been all
year.
You
think they should have been this bad all year?
Well, no, but when you add in the fact that they no longer have Carter Hart, when you add in the fact they no longer have Sean Walker, yes, I think if this team right now, a team without Carter Hart, a team without Sean Walker, a team that is, you know, has whatever is left of Sean Couturier and whatever is left of Cam Atkinson, that team, yeah, I think that team is bad.
Okay.
So it's, for me, it's more that like what we're seeing now is kind of the true talent level of this particular incarnation of the Flyers, sans Hart, sans first half Couturier, sans first half Atkinson, sans Walker. That's why it's hard for me to pin too much on John Tortorella. However, he deserves some blame for not being able to halt this. And we'll see over the next few weeks if the people above John Tortorella think he deserves even more blame than that. We shall see. I think we had another super chat, though.
Oh.
We got Torts can't make Sam Harrison save a puck from Gary B. Gary B, you are not wrong. He cannot make a goalie stop a puck.
Maybe if
which
he was
means
a good
Gary
coach,
B. Gary B, very much an option one person.
Evidently.
Option number three, the blue line. This is related to option four, but it's kind of different. The blue line core all year was, I would say, a surprising strength of
yes.
the team.
Yeah.
Very surprising.
Over the past month, month and a half, they lost Drysdale, Sealer, and Ristolainen to injury. They traded Sean Walker.
Mm.
They ran Cam York and Travis Sanheim into the ground. Is it possible that this all stems from the fact that the defense just can't do the things tactically and stylistically that the Flyers need to do in order to win games?
I think it's a solid group that we had. And obviously in the beginning of the year it was much better, but I like we talked about, York and Sanheim have had a lot of ice time out there and they're gas. We talked about Addard and Jennings looking pretty solid. I liked them as a third pairing. You just got Drysdale back. Obviously you got Sealer back here as well. You've had a lot of moving pieces. Definitely the blue line is no, if I had to rank them, it'd be Torts, goaltending, and blue line, goaltending, Torts, and then the blue line as far as the rankings, as far as what I would blame.
Mm-hmm.
Blue line's at the bottom right now.
Okay.
They're gas.
I mean,
they're the most gas unit.
See, my thing is that, like, when I say blame the blue line, it's not even blaming from a sense of frustration. It's more just blaming it from a, this is the reason. Because
yeah.
I don't, like, I'm not going to give Travis Sanheim and Cam York shit for getting exhausted because they had to play 30 minutes a night for a month. I think it's understandable that they are exhausted. But if they're exhausted and therefore they no longer can engineer the kind of breakouts that the Flyers need to do what they need to do to win games,
mm-hmm.
then that is an explanation, or it's a plausible explanation as to why this has all gone so bad so quickly. If they are too tired, if Sealer and Drysdale, obviously they missed a ton of time, now they're back,
yeah.
but they're not at their peak because they're coming back from injuries. You had Mark Stahl in a game, Eric Johnson. Like, they brought Eric Johnson in for Sean Walker. Dramatic downgrade. Is it possible that, and again, this isn't me saying the defense sucks. I think a healthy defense could be decent next year. But this current defense during this two-week stretch,
mm-hmm.
could that be a big reason why,
yes.
if not the biggest reason why, they are losing games? Because this defense can't do the things that got the Flyers in the standings position in the first place.
Yeah, this is definitely more of like a reason.
Not an excuse.
That, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, this is
like
more of a reason than an excuse.
This, there's just no getting around it. The injuries were a big problem. And losing Sean Walker, who's apparently the only guy with the ability to break the puck out of the zone, that obviously hindered like the rush and like entirely
dried up. It clearly did slow down their
yeah.
transition offense without a doubt.
Yes. So yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the defense core that we started with was pretty good. The defense core that we're finishing with, it's not that great.
It's pretty bad. We got another super chat real quick from Gary B. What was option one? Gary B, option one out of the what should we blame the most for this two-week-long collapse? Option one was the goaltending. So that's why I said, seems like you're an option one person, Gary B. JP.
Yeah, so are we going still?
We going for option four?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So no, it's definitely.
We want to do a. Do we want to do an ad read?
Let's do an ad read.
Let's do an ad read.
Let's talk a little bit about Empire Today here, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure.
With Empire Today, you get shop at home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and price match guarantee. Empire Today is the best place to get new flooring, so of course they have copycats, but they can't beat Empire Today on quality, service, speed. So they advertise low-quality products that simply won't carry. Empire Today won't promise the lowest prices because anyone who does that is putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in theirs. And that's an important part, ladies and gentlemen. They keep shopping for Floor Simple with their curated product selection. Their virtual floor designer is a fantastic way so you can see how floors will look in any space. It's easy, just a snap of a picture, and instantly see how the new floors will look in your room. Shopping for floors at a big box store can be frustrating, so you might want to talk to somebody today who is working in was working in plumbing yesterday. Flooring is all Empire Today does. They live and breathe flooring, so you can be confident and you're getting honest upfront advice. And right now here, you can schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive $350 off discount when they use the promo code PHLY. Restrictions do apply. See EmpireToday/Empire for details. And of course, we got to do it.
Of course we do.
1-800-588-2300 Empire
Today.
Absolutely.
And so
I do want to point something out because Barbara Carroll, who's a very active participant in our chats.
Hi, Barbara.
She's here a lot. Thanks so much for watching our shows this season, Barbara. She pointed out the power play. Now, here's the thing with the power play. I did not put the power play on my list of things to blame most. And here's why. The power play is God freaking awful. But it has been God freaking awful all year.
Right.
All year.
Mm-hmm.
It was really bad when the team was playing well. It's still really bad now. It's not like it's gotten worse. It's just the same level of shit.
Yes.
Has it maybe caught up to them now because all these other things are going wrong? Yeah, I mean, they could certainly use some freaking power play goals here
and
there.
Would be nice.
But the reason, Barbara, why I'm not including the power play as one of the big reasons, big potential reasons why this collapse is happening is because that's not a new problem. This has been a problem all year.
They won with a bad power play.
It's frustrating as hell, but they won with a bad power play. They're not winning now, but I'm loathe to blame it on the power play when they spent all year overcoming that. Like, they didn't spend all year overcoming the defense as it is now. They didn't spend all year overcoming shit goaltending. They didn't spend all year overcoming whatever is going on with the relationship between the players and Torts.
It's easy to say that take more shots on a night like tonight, but, like, it felt like every single time someone took a shot for the Flyers, it was either wide or too high.
Yeah.
Like, or it was just going right
into
the
goalie. Well, they're
not
finishing either. I mean, that's true. Like, and some of that goes to option five, which I'll get to in a sec. But want to do option four real quick because this is an interesting one. It's kind of more of an outside the box one, but I have heard some people make this point, and I think it's fair to bring up Danny Briere. Reason being, the Flyers did sell at the deadline. Mm-hmm. They traded Sean Walker, so he was one of their best defensemen. And they traded for Eric Johnson, who apparently has been so underwhelming that he got scratched tonight. Mm. And Danny Briere chose not to acquire a goalie.
Right.
Now, Danny Briere would argue, and I think correctly, he would argue that this is a rebuild. He's making decisions for the future, and I agree with that. However, if we are just talking about reasons for this collapse right now, how much culpability, even if we understand the decisions and we might even agree with them, how much culpability for this collapse does Danny Briere's decisions at the deadline have?
Yeah, this one's interesting because I 100% agree with everything that he did, but also you can't deny that those moves are a large part of the reason why the Flyers are struggling right now, particularly losing team MVP Sean Walker.
Team MVP Sean Walker.
But yeah, that's an interesting one because I wouldn't have undone anything that he did.
I mean, I might have undone the Eric Johnson.
Yeah, I don't know why that was.
He's a great dude. I enjoy interviewing him. So for me personally, I'm happy he's on the team because I got a couple real good interviews out of him.
Yeah.
But like the Flyers have been outscored, I think, like 14-3 at 5-on-5 when he's been on the ice. It's been rough. He hasn't been helping.
But yeah, so that's like a weird one because yes, but also I can't be mad about it.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, the thing is that we still had to get those future assets, right? You still needed to get those future assets for this team.
If they're going
to
say it's a rebuild,
exactly,
you kind of had to do that.
Yeah.
Or else you had to straight up say, we're not rebuilding anymore. We're going for the playoffs.
Yeah.
With the goalie thing, though, number one, what was available at the time, right? Like, we were like contemplating Ranta. And number two, could Breer maybe had thought at that time Fedotov was an option?
He absolutely did.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he didn't go out and get that goal.
I think that was part of it. However, Fedotov, well, I give Danny Breer and the entire Flyers front office all the credit in the world for pulling off the Fedotov thing on multiple levels. Great job. The idea that, like, get that done. Get him over here. And if getting him over here means putting him in the NHL lineup, what, fine. Do what you got to do. But the idea that Fedotov was going to come over from Russia and immediately save them and drag them to the playoffs was always nuts. Yeah.
Well, some of us like to dream, Charles.
What I'm saying is that getting Fedotov, undeniably a great thing, love it, super happy for the kid. If that was the goaltending answer that he had in his head, that was crazy because it was never reasonable to expect Fedotov was going to come over and be awesome.
Realistically, I would have rather had a veteran goalie, obviously, with Erson especially. But, I mean, the options were slim to none. And, I mean, I guess they did.
Ronta was the big one.
Because they
could have claimed him on waivers. Nothing, he was available for free. Presumably, they didn't because they knew they had either one of or both of Kolesov and Fedotov coming over. In retrospect, it makes more sense why they didn't. However, it still meant you had to go a month with Felix Sandstrom as your backup, and you had to overwork Sam Harrison.
Or Cal Peterson.
And now Sam Harrison is cooked, and your backups that you've been throwing out there are all bad. It's just, they lost points. They lost points by doing that. And while I am not going to rake Danny Breer over the coals, because as you said, and I agree with you, I mostly agree with the moves he made. It's just that if you're purely looking at this from a helping the team make the playoffs, his approach to the trade deadline absolutely is playing a role in this collapse.
Yeah, can't argue with you. You're right.
Looks like we got another super chat.
Yeah,
we appreciate
Gary B. Gary B's just throwing us money. Thanks so much, Gary. Could tonight's goal by Ollie L. I don't like that. Ollie L. lead to a good final five games for him? Well, what are we down to four now?
Four.
I think we're down to four games. So good. Well, I guess it's five if you count this
tonight,
one. Yeah. So yeah, it's final fuck. Maybe he's racking up the scoring chances. And
it's
now,
been nice to see.
Now that it looks like they're probably not going to make the playoffs. Like
they're
now
playing loose now, Charlie.
Now they can play loose.
Now they can play loose.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've been told. Hey, you know what? If he can be a bright spot in the same way that I'm thinking, like, what was it, 3 years ago when Wade Allison came up and was a bright spot at the end of a lost season?
Ripped.
Poor Wade. Have fun in Nashville. Hopefully you find your place there. But if he could be something of a bright spot, that'd
be
great.
Be cool.
Because I like the skill set.
Playing with Poehling and Hathaway is truly contagious.
There we go. He's worked pretty well on that line. Great pass by Hathaway to get him that goal. So.
It was a nice pass.
Yeah,
so
I'm happy for old Ollie L. Scored his first NHL goal.
Ula. I like that.
This is the last one, the final option. And this is the one that fans probably don't want to hear.
Uh-oh. It's your fault, fans.
The explanation to blame is it's just all the outside factors. It's the fatigue. Uh-huh. It's the heart situation. It's just general regression from the fact that they were probably playing a bit over their heads for most of the year. It's the idea that something like this, especially given the injuries and the heart situation, that this was kind of inevitable and that this isn't actually worth getting that angry about because they've had to deal with so much and this was just kind of destined to happen. That is
our
option five, the logical, rational one that no one wants to hear right now.
Ask me about this one in 2 weeks. I'm not ready to be logical yet. I will say that it's everything.
It's everything.
It's all of those things.
It's yes.
It's pretty much everything we've gone over.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes. It's all of these things. And that's what really sucks about it because there was a point in this season where I thought to myself, holy shit, the Flyers are now the team getting the bounces. The Flyers are the team getting lucky.
Yeah.
And it has just 180'd to the complete other side where we're back to the Flyers being cursed and nothing going the Flyers' way. And it's just like, I really thought we had gotten past it. I mean, now we're like right back where we were 2 years ago.
Just like one of the main storylines here tonight. You allow six goals to the fourth worst team here.
All defensemen. That, like, what's even going
that
on?
That just tells you everything. But Charlie, I think this is the one that I'm going to put the most blame on with just all the outside things. Because when you just watch this team, it just, especially for me, like I feel like there's like like a mental hold on this team right now in the way that they're just straight up playing. But one thing I did want to look at, it is really hard to make the playoffs with a young team. So a lot of those teams need some veteran players. We have some of those veteran players, and some of these veteran players have been with this team over the past couple of years. You know, I'm looking at the TKs of the world, the Lots, the Farabees of the world. This has also been a team that the past couple of years, I believe, have underachieved a little bit there. So I wonder if, like Torch was talking about earlier as well on Monday after the game, if it's just the fact that we just don't have the pieces that have the mindset to win some of these games late.
Well, one thing that's going to be really interesting, and I guess the season isn't over. You got four games left. Maybe the Flyers pull a rabbit out of their hat. You never know. It's Charles. Hockey. Weird things happen. The friggin' Penguins happen. Are back in a playoff spot.
Exactly.
Okay? So that's my point. You never freaking know. I suspect that it's probably over. And if it is indeed over, it's going to be really interesting over the next few weeks and months breaking down what the Flyers may do in the offseason. Because what this does open the door for is this idea of, you know, had the season ended in early March and the Flyers made the playoffs and had a plucky showing in the first round, it would have been a hell of a lot easier to be like, well, you know, we'll just like buy out Cam Atkinson and then run it back and add some young guys and maybe make a couple depth signings and we're good. After this happens, I'm not saying they're definitely going to, but I am saying that it opens the door for the possibility that they make some bigger changes to this team
true.
Because they say the culture wasn't as strong as we thought it was. Remember at the end of last season when John Tortorella basically was like, we're going to need to make some subtractions.
Yes.
I wonder if this finish to the year will have them saying that again, that maybe we need to make some subtractions because maybe this isn't as strong culturally as we thought it was. And that opens the door for a lot of intriguing possibilities. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I do think it will be interesting to talk about it over the next few weeks leading into the offseason because we don't look like we're going to be talking about playoff hockey, which is a bummer. I guess with that, JP, final ad read.
Let's take a quick second here, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it time to chill?
It is time to chill, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, you guys see it right here. The Coors Light, our dear sponsor. And listen, we're going to need a lot of Coors Light after this game here. So guys, listen, I love Coors Light because look, I like the heavier beers. I'm more of an IPA guy. I like the lagers, but sometimes I can't do too much of them. So I go for a cold, refreshing Coors Light, especially when that Rocky Mountain is blue. That's when I pick that Coors Light here, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, I'm sure right now, obviously we all know our boy Bill Matz, who's having a much better time than all of us down at WrestleMania.
I certainly hope so.
He's also crushing quite a few Coors Lights here as well, ladies and gentlemen. So that's why you guys need to check out Coors Light here. And you know what's the best part about Coors Light, guys? Listen, you don't have to go straight to the beer store. You can also go get it online. Yeah. It's that simple, guys. Get it delivered right to your home. Don't have to go outside. I'm with you. I like chilling at home, too. And I like it getting delivered, too. But right now, guys, go. When you choose the rise above it all, choose chill. Choose Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door or with Instacart. By going to CoorsLight.com/PHLYHockey.
Yeah, you can even make us look good.
There you go.
Get us a little shout out for our advertisers.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Again, that's CoorsLight.com/PHLYHockey. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What a time to be alive.
What a time.
Oh, man.
Well, I'll say this. This was a miserable game to talk about. I very much enjoyed talking about it with Kelly and JP.
Yeah, this was a great show.
It was a good show. I wish we were talking about a team that was doing better and not in the midst of an embarrassing collapse. But
someday, Charlie.
It's not our time, Charlie.
That's what it means to cover the Philadelphia Flyers. To close it out, I'm going to do my three stars. I'm going to make it quick.
Let's do it, Charlie.
Spoiler alert, there ain't a single Philadelphia Flyer in the three stars. No, I thought about maybe even giving it to Lixell or Jenning just because, like, hey, good job, the Swedes, for scoring your first goal. But I can't.
Mm. What about the friends we made along the way?
The friends we made along the way. Third star, Jet Greaves, the goalie.
Jet.
The goalie who shouldn't even be in the NHL, who shut down the Flyers.
Western Hockey.
Star number two, Damon Severson, who Kelly basically was like, why did they give him that contract at the start of the game? And then scores two goals and almost gets a hat trick. Damon Severson.
I love making myself look dumb.
Gotta love it.
Yes.
And star number one, who I actually thought was the best player on the ice for both teams in this game, Zach Werenski.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, he was.
He was just a difference maker. He's everything the Flyers need on the back end in terms of having a guy who could just be the guy.
So much better than Ivan Provorov.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Charlie, so much better than
Charlie. Real quick, before we go sign off here, our producer Brenna is fantastic as always.
Oh, thanks so much, Brenna.
She actually put a poll here.
Oh,
asking
shit.
The fans
I love
who
it.
They blame here
I
for the
love
collapse.
It.
Who did
so,
you people pick?
Leading the way with 44% of the votes is the goaltending.
Okay.
Second was the blue line with 29%. Third was Torts with 20, and then fourth was we only have four options.
Yeah, there. I don't think we had thrown in the fifth option
but
Brenna
it
yet.
Was Briere with 6.
Okay, so Briere is still, people are still feeling good about Danny.
Yeah,
the goaltending. I mean, that's the one that I
stinks.
That's the one that I lean to. I'm probably a combo of 1 and 5 with, while reserving the right to potentially add number 2 in if. Over the course of my reporting over the final 2 weeks, I find out that like the team really does fucking hate Torts.
Oh yeah, baby.
I mean, I don't know that now, but I'm reserving the right to adjust that if I find out things.
I'm going 2-5. That's more 5, but
more
I 5. Put a little bit 2
like
in there.
I feel like you're going to want to be a diehard because I feel like if Charlie gets a big scoop about hating John Tortorella, that's going behind the paywall, fam.
I don't know if they do, but I'm just saying that like these are the kinds of things that as a reporter you got to look into.
Absolutely.
Because, hey, they've lost 7 straight games. They got a mercurial coach who goes off the rails every other week.
Yeah.
You never know. You can't rule it out. So
what a great
that'll
word.
Be part of, you know, the post-mortem on the season. But I guess, we got one more super chat. Gary B, another one before we end it. Gary B, is Denver Barking option next year? No.
I'm giving Gary my Venmo.
He will not be making the team. I believe he will spend one more year with the London Knights, putting up great numbers. I just don't think he's physically ready to make the jump. He can't jump into the AHL yet. I would say it would be in 2 seasons when he has a shot. We'll see how that plays out. I'm a big Denver Barking fan. Certainly not expecting for him to, Barkey and Bonk.
Barkey Bonk.
Bumper Bonk. But I'm not expecting Barkey to factor in next year. I'm interested to see how he'll look in camp because he may impress.
That'll be fun.
He impressed in camp this year and he looks like he's 12.
Yeah.
Presumably, maybe really next camp will look like he's 15.
Ooh.
You never know.
Him and Bobby Brink can hang out.
There we go.
Yeah.
Bobby Brink, he's got some facial hair now. It's not the there best facial hair, but like he's trying.
He's got a little lettuce too.
He's trying.
He looks 17 now.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've done all the ad reads. We've done the 3 stars. We've broken down this dumpster fire of a game.
What else is there?
Thanks so much to everyone for watching. We will be back on Monday for our next live in-studio show. Bill Matz will be back from WrestleMania.
Yay.
We'll get to get all the details from that. We'll get to know if he had way more fun than we did, which I suspect he did. And in the meantime, please like and subscribe us on YouTube. Become a diehard. Get all the great content behind the paywall, join the Discord, have some fun. I'm Charlie O'Connor for Kelly Hinkle, for JP Zapata. Thanks, everyone.
See you guys.
We all silly like the mayor.